The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
And joining me is John Fuller. He, of course, the voice of Focus on the Family and our neighbors, and we're heard on KGFT radio right there in the Springs. John Fuller, thanks so much for joining me.
Hey, Gino, I always enjoy talking to you. You are one of the most knowledgeable people I know about so many different things, and you do a great job of just distilling complex issues of the day and scriptural truths into ways that we can grab onto it. So thank you for what you do.
Well, one of the things that I think is really wonderful, I believe since I've become a Christian, that God is the God of hope and that the scriptures are a source of hope. And I know that this marks the resurrection season. And I know that Focus on the Family has some thoughts on this, that John Fuller has some thoughts on this. Tell me how you plan to celebrate Resurrection Week this week and Sunday.
No, I appreciate that. And I got to tell you, I was just talking to my wife, and instead of me just kind of telling you what's going on, let me share some of her questions, because I thought they were so good. She said, why do we celebrate Christmas with such a long, lingering season of Advent and so many different traditions? And why do more of us not celebrate Easter in as big a way or bigger? And I said, gee, why do I take time off at Christmas but not at Easter? Why do I struggle to get my head wrapped around the bigger truth? I mean, they're both huge truths. Jesus came to earth. Jesus died and rose again. But it's easier to kind of get festive and fun about Christmas. I guess I'm answering my own question. Mm-hmm. Easter involves pain. It involves suffering. Unimaginable pain and anguish on the part of the Savior. But I struggle, Gino, to really get into the Easter season in a meaningful way unless I dig something up in Scripture that I am not familiar with already. I don't struggle at Christmas the same way. So Dina, my wife's questions, I think, are pretty penetrating for me, and I tossed those out. For us, we do actually, as a ministry, take Good Friday off. That's always been, and we are grateful for that time. It's meant to be kind of a reflective time, and I grew up in a high church setting. Mm. We don't attend a high church, denomination anymore, but 12 to 3, I'm going to try to be quiet. I'm going to try to be reflective on what Jesus did. I'm going to try to think through what was it like for the Son of God to go, you know, physically to be placed in a hole in the ground, in a cave. And just to ponder that, because I think we don't quiet our hearts enough. We fill it with all sorts of stuff. And I think I'm going to just really try to dial in this Friday into what those 3 hours that we commemorate, you know, the death and burial of Jesus to be.
You know, it's interesting that you grew up in that high church tradition, because Easter is the oldest Christian tradition.
Yeah.
And I was born in New Orleans, and I, too, was born and raised and educated in a high church tradition. And in New Orleans, it began with Mardi Gras, which was called Fat Tuesday, and it led up to what's traditionally been called Lent. And the 40-day period of fasting and repentance culminating in this Holy Week, followed by a 50-day Easter season that stretched from Easter to Pentecost. Now, there might be a growing call to maybe, dare I, no pun intended, resurrect that thought.
Yes, that's where you've just expressed what I've been feeling, which is, you know what, my roots had something that was more significant. And I think in the midst of just having a bunch of kids and working hard and, you know, letting life creep in. I've let go of some of those traditions that I kind of want to just grab and parlay into something that is more meaningful for me this year than it has been in past, because, as you know, Easter is the culmination
right.
of the Christmas story, right? I mean, it's the reason Jesus came.
Well, and I think about that word joy, which I absolutely love, because in Romans chapter 15, it talks about that our God and that the scriptures are the source of joy and hope. And it's been my experience that if you're suffering from joy deficit disorder, hope deficit disorder, that the resurrection really becomes the most powerful explanation of why we can give ourselves permission to experience joy.
Yes, yes, because the scripture, especially as we read the gospel accounts, I mean, it's all about Jesus and who he was, and, you know, leading up to his arrest, when the Roman soldiers came out, I mean, there was a good number of soldiers that Judas was leading to take Jesus. All Jesus had to say is, who are you looking for? Well, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. I am. When Jesus said, I am he, they all fell down. They all fell down at his word, because he is the one who spoke the world into being with the word. He's the one who could walk by a leper and offer healing from a lifelong disease with the word. And with the word, he demonstrated just before he was arrested, I am the Son of God, you know who I am, and I'm going with you anyway, because I came for a bigger purpose. And that should give us joy that the Savior was willing to suffer on our behalf, and he knew it all the way to the cross and beyond.
By the way, John Fuller, does Focus on the Family have some resources that you'd like to recommend for people who are thinking, praying, meditating, reflecting on this kind of unusual Easter? I mean, obviously, last year was very painful for so many people. It looks like more and more people will literally be able to go back to church. Any thoughts?
Yeah, we do. If you just go to the FocusOnTheFamily.com website, and it's linked there from your page, too, I know, Gino. If you just plug in Easter, you're going to find all sorts of things. First and foremost, we've got a little online booklet about who Jesus was and how to have salvation in Christ. And last year, 300,000 people, more than 300,000 people, committed their lives to Christ or dedicated their lives again to Christ as a result of Focus. So we want you to see that booklet. We also have a broadcast that features Phil Vischer, the guy that created VeggieTales.
Yes.
Helping you explain to your kids, younger kids, about what it means for Jesus to die and be resurrected. And there's even an article online about finding Easter in bunnies and baskets that people might find interesting.
Yes, and I'm at FocusOnTheFamily.com, and as I'm looking at it, I'm seeing this headline, "We are so encouraged by your desire to put Jesus Christ at the center of your home." It seems to me that most problems are right there. Is my home going to be a Christ-centered home, or is it going to be a child-centered home?
Yeah, and I tell you, I'm in the midst of adults raising adults, and not every one of them shares all of our beliefs and our values. And so my wife and I have had conversations as they come over. We are going to be unflinching, but we're going to be careful not to be overbearing, if you will. They know where we're at. And so, giving people room for their story to unfold, I think, is important. But back to what you said, we have joy in Jesus.
Yeah, that's we really do have joy and evidence. And John Fuller, when I look at Focus on the Family's website, I see marriage, parenting, and I happen to click on faith. As I clicked on faith, there's an article that's posted, J. John's Word for the Day and the Christian Worldview. And it seems to me, if ever there was a time to talk about the Christian worldview, it's now.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was having a conversation with a friend late last week, and I said, this sounds weird, but I think it's actually going to be easy and easier, at least, to be a follower, a true follower of Jesus in the coming days, because the culture is becoming darker and darker. And this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge is, it's not going to be easier for us because we don't suffer, or we don't have hard choices, or we don't have pain. It's going to be easier because living counterculturally is just easier and easier as the world slips away. I mean, when I started at Focus 29 years ago,
wow,
nobody could have convinced me that we would be talking about marriage like it is today.
Right.
Nobody would have been able to convince me that what's taught in schools would be actually taught in schools. Nobody could convince me that we would start letting five-year-olds determine their gender. I mean, it's just, it's bizarre. And it's, if you hold true to the truth, if you hold true to Scripture, the truth, it's not that hard. It becomes pretty crystal clear. I'm not of this world, and I'm just passing through. But my goal is to live for Christ in such a way that people don't say "ew," but they say, "Wow, what's that about?" So
you know,
that's the challenge, right?
Yeah, it really is the challenge. And one of the challenges that we have, as you were talking about what we're facing right now, who would have thought that it would be possible to criminalize the belief that what the Bible says about any given subject is true? So imagine, yeah, you're a Bible-believing Christian and you believe in creation rather than evolution. Imagine you believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. Imagine you believe that he created the male and female and that there is no such thing as a gender spectrum, but now you lose your job because you don't use preferred pronouns. Do you, yep, imagine that Focus in the Family might have some real challenges this year as we sort through the cultural things that are going on and figure out how do we minister in these new circumstances?
Well, certainly that is possible. We don't anticipate that, like, you know, anything is imminent, but as large Christian organizations feel the pressure, and I know that Jim wrote about this, mm-hmm, in his blog at Daily Citizen about Bethany Christian Services, the largest Christian adoption organization.
Yeah, something near and dear to Jim's heart.
And yes, and I'm an adoptive dad. I actually know people there, or did.
Mm-hmm.
They're at Bethany. Great, great organization, but they are now saying, no, you know, they're not publicly, but privately, they have to have said, well, marriage is a man and a woman, but we have to provide services to anybody that claims to be married because that's just how it is. They were getting threatened with lawsuits, and nobody should have to choose between, do I stay true to my principles, or do I give in, or mm-hmm, do I shut down? And I think those are all things that at Focus we have to, and I'm sure that our senior leadership and general counsel are talking through. I think actually the more imminent threat is probably the loss of 503 status,
mm-hmm,
to churches and nonprofits like ours,
mm-hmm,
because we aren't politically correct. And then are people going to support us? And eventually it might become, you know what? They believe that hateful book, the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, goodness, if Dr. Seuss, if you can't discern the times in which Dr. Seuss was written, then how are you going to grapple with the truth of the Scripture written over all those years by all those authors and still see the truth in it as not abhorrent, but accurate and dependable? I sort of feel like the end game is the Bible, and they're going to shut all of us Christians down if they can, whoever the big they is. I haven't quite figured it out.
Well, John Fuller, I know that I was reading a Pew Research. It said around 2 in 5 Christians, that's 39%, said they plan to attend Easter services in person this year. And that's significantly lower than the 62% who say they normally attend. What is the Fuller family doing this Sunday?
Okay, this is true confessions, you know. For at least 10 years, we have gone to some friend's cabin up in the middle of nowhere.
Uh-huh.
And we have had a home service. Usually there are several other families, so we've usually celebrated it in a pretty small confine with some families. This year, however, we're in town, so we will be going to our church for the first time in many, many years, and we're looking forward to it because our church celebrates grace, and our church celebrates the redemption of Christ, and so it's going to be good to be with the saints in the larger body it is the local church we attend. So thank you for asking. I'm excited about it.
No, as I was thinking this through, and obviously for many, many people in 2020, it was just so bizarre. Easter 2021 is shaping up to be a little bit different than 2020. Only 7% of churches had normal in-person services. At the beginning of 2021, 76% of the churches said that they were going to physically gather. But I suspect that there is a mark that's been left by this pandemic on churches and our culture as a whole. What do you think?
I would agree with that. And I talked to a friend out in Los Angeles. He attends a big church. He said they surveyed their congregation. 40% of the people that have quit coming because of COVID, because they can't, have said that we're not going to be coming back. For whatever reason, either they're not comfortable doing so, or they just like their Sunday mornings, or they found something else to do. So the truth is, of course, we have brothers and sisters being persecuted around the world. This Sunday, millions of them won't be able to go to church, but they can still have the joy of the risen Christ. And may the Lord work in them, and may he work in my heart, so I don't take any of that for granted, the privilege we have of being able to attend church. Yeah, I'm glad I can do that, and I intend to do so, as I shared with you.
Wow. And in this upcoming year, does Focus think that how are you staying true to your own mission in this?
I appreciate that. Yeah, we have candid conversations. The various leadership teams. Jim is very forthright in saying, the day is coming. We may have to think through. What do we do? Because we've exhausted all the legal opportunities we have, and now we've lost in the court of law. So what do we do? I think of Jack the Baker. Up in north of here.
He's in Lakewood, and he's probably John Fuller. He's probably listening to this program right at this very moment.
We love Jack, and we pray for him because God bless him. He is standing up. If he loses, he might lose his business. But I know that his security isn't in his business as much as he's plowed into that emotionally and financially and physically. His joy and his hope is in a greater place. And as an organization, I think, focus on the family. We're not going to back down. We're not going to give in. We're not going to cave. We'll fight what we have to. We'll be kind and loving and, respectful of others in the course of doing so if we have to go to court. But, we're not going to give in. And it's not a time to shrink back. It's a time to stand firm and to say, the God that I say I believe, I trust him. I trust him. And nothing in this world can stop that. Nothing.
Well, I know it's an unusual Easter for you this Easter, but I pray that the John Fuller family will experience joy and hope and renewal.
Well, thank you. And may all of your listeners continue to just drink in from the book, the truth that you proclaim, and the confidence that they can have in Christ. Thank you, Gino. Appreciate you so much.
Thank you, John Fuller. This is Gino Geraci. Go to FocusOnTheFamily.com.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.